The blessing has been mine to be with you today, and to not only be with you today, but then to have partnered with you in ministry over however many years it has been. And I'm thinking it would have been 1994, I think, that the church became a supporting church. So that's getting close to 30 years, isn't it? Wow. So thank you for your faithfulness in supporting us financially and in prayer. And thank you also, during this past year, there was a very significant increase in your support of us. So thank you for that very, very much. Want to this evening share with you a little bit more about what's currently going on in the ministry of Continental Baptist Missions. This morning, the Sunday school hour, we talked about our personal ministry and walked through a little bit of our personal history in ministry with CBM, and then in the morning service briefly gave a little bit of the history of CBM in some of those earlier years. And we've shared with you a couple of times now that currently we have 17 mission churches, church plants or church revitalization ministries that are being served by CBM missionaries, one building project that's going on. And I'd like to take just a little closer look at several of these ministries. First of all, Nathan and Christy Robbins began a church planting ministry in Buffalo, New York, the beginning of this year. Really, they moved to Buffalo in October, and then in January began their church plant in Buffalo. And so that is a brand new church plant. They meet Sunday evenings in the Robbins home. And so while we're meeting here, they are meeting as a kind of an embryo church, just a core group of people that are meeting together as they seek to build relationships with people in their neighborhood of Buffalo, and then to begin discipling people and seeing the Lord bring a church together. And so that's a very, very new church plant. I mentioned this morning that a year ago I was visiting a church that had approached us, reached out to us for revitalization help. That church is Colon Baptist Church, and it is not a new church. This is the church that I had mentioned that came into existence the same year that Michigan was accepted into the Union as one of the states in the Union. So this church is... they're now approaching 186 years that they have been in existence as a church, but a year ago they were in a position where it was uncertain whether or not they would be able to continue, and so they reached out to us. This was one of those rare occasions when my conversation with them did not begin with the statement, "We have no one available at this time," because Jeff and Deb Minear were concluding a church planting attempt in Maryland and looking for God's leading to their next place of ministry. There are some things that they were looking for in just kind of some parameters, and this ministry fit within that. And so last June of 2022, the Meniers began a revitalization ministry at Colon Baptist Church, and they've been... they've had a very good start there. There's a lot of enthusiasm. They have made it a point as a church to be involved with the different things that take place in their small town, just to have a presence there for people in their community to know that they are there and have opportunities of interacting with people and, again, establishing relationships with them. So they've participated in some of the community events, and things are going well. We're thankful for what God is doing there in this church revitalization ministry. And then we have a building project that is underway in Sparta, Michigan. Baptist Bible Church is not a CBM mission church. It's a church that began as a church plant I'm not sure how many years ago, but they were kind of an independent church plant. They were meeting in a rented building, a rented church building, and a year or so ago, that building that they were meeting in was sold. So they needed to find a different place to meet as a church. There was a local golf course that had gone out of business, and the golf course property was being divided up into parcels for housing. So the church bought what had been the clubhouse for this golf club and 7 acres of property, and that became their meeting place with the plans to add an addition onto that meeting place, that building. And so just a couple of weeks ago, ground was broken for that addition, and the early stages of building are taking place there with 3 CBM missionary builder families assisting this church. And our builders will do that. If there isn't a CBM mission church that is in need of a building, our mission builders have served church planters with other mission agencies or sometimes some independent church plants like Baptist Bible Church of Sparta. I mentioned this morning in the Sunday School Hour, just briefly, the CBM office team. I put up everybody's picture there as a whole, and I want to kind of introduce each member of our office team to you this evening. Valerie is our publications manager. She has worked for Continental Baptist Missions since 2000, and so she's a long-term employee with us. And in addition to being the publications manager, like everybody in the office, really, she wears several hats, but that's her primary ministry role. Mary began working for us in January of 2022, and we knew when she came with us that it was going to be fairly short term. Mary actually lives an hour away from our office, and so she worked 2 days a week driving an hour each way to come to the office, but she's been a tremendous asset to the office, and we've been very, very thankful to have her a number of years in working in business and then also in local church ministry, and just fit in very well. Thursday of this past week, just 3 or 4 days ago, was Mary's last day working for us, and so we're sad to see her go. Jody is the wife of one of our missionary builders. Her husband is the lead builder on the project in Sparta, Michigan, and that's just a few miles from our office. And so Jody has stepped in to fill Mary's shoes for the next year while they are engaged in that building project. So Jody is also not a long-term solution for us, but we're grateful to have her. She was able to work with Mary for about 3 or 4 weeks and get introduced to some of the tasks that she has. So we're very glad to have Jody working in our office. Sharon came to work for us just over a year ago. She works in our accounting department, and we're thankful for Sharon's cheerful attitude and for the work that she does. I mentioned this morning that Joanne also works part-time for CBM, and I mentioned that much of what she does, and she also works in the accounting department. Online giving has been a growing segment of our accounting work. A lot of churches and individuals have begun sending their support in through various digital means, and that's largely where Joanne works in recording those gifts. And she is able to do that from home, comes into the office usually once or twice a week to do a couple of things that she can't do from home. And so these are the ladies who work in our office, and of course Mary just recently wrapped up her work. So the 4 ladies that work in the CBM office. And I mentioned this morning Dallas, who is the director of CBM Building Ministries and has been in that role since I think 2001 was when he came into that position, and now also serves as our finance director, overseeing the accounting department and the people who work in that department. Pete is also a veteran missionary builder. He and his wife Darla worked out in the field on a number of building projects over the years. Pete now works in the office, and his work largely involves using the computer-aided drafting program, CAD program, drawing building plans for churches that are being built by our mission builders. Pete was the one who drew the plans for the project in Sparta at Baptist Bible Church. Pete has completed a set of plans for a CBM church plant in Eureka, Montana. That will be the next building project. We expect when the project in Sparta finishes up that our builders will be going out there, and Pete has already pretty much wrapped up those drawings. And then Pete also does a lot of the maintenance work around our office building. And then myself as director of church planting and administrative director. The three men that you see in this picture, Dallas, Pete, and myself, are all supported missionaries. We do not receive a salary from CBM. The four ladies that work in the office, and of the four, Valerie is the only one who is full-time. The other three are part-time, but they are paid a salary by CBM. So this is our office staff, and this the different positions that these individuals serve in. As we think about that office team serving those missionaries who are out in the field in those locations that you saw on the map earlier, exactly how does our office team serve these churches and missionaries? Well, we do that by receiving, receiving, and distributing financial support. And that may be one of those things that we kind of yawn about and just, you know, that's not really terribly exciting, is it, when we think about the work of church planting, the work of missions. That's just kind of a maybe a ho-hum kind of thing. Well, it really isn't. It really is a very significant service that is done by the people in our office. We have 28 active missionary families. That are, and then in addition to those 28 missionary families, active missionary families, we have, I believe it's 21 or 22 retired missionaries or missionary couples that also receive a certain amount of support through the CBM office. And there are a total of supporting those missionaries, there are approximately 700 churches and individuals who send support to those missionaries, and they send it to the CBM office, and then it's distributed from there. So it really is a sizable task. Our accounting team processes about $1.9 million a year in missionary support for those missionaries. And so it really is a sizable task, significant work that they do, doing that accurately, efficiently, is certainly a significant thing. So when you think about Jody and Sharon and Joanne and Dallas, it's a pretty important work that they are doing in that area. Communicating with supporting churches and individuals. We frequently receive a request from a supporting church saying, hey, can you give us updated support information for the missionaries, the CBM missionaries that we support? And so we are able to respond and to give them that information as they make decisions related to their budget and the missionary support that they send out. And then sometimes they may have other questions about the needs of their missionaries, etc. So there's a good amount of communication that comes into and goes out of our office, and the office team handles that as well. Designing print and digital media for ministry use, and that largely is Valerie who does that. When you look at my display table. When you look at the banner, the CBM banner display that's back there, when you look at the other literature items, the map that's there, the placards of several of our mission churches, and my prayer card or our prayer card for Joanne and I. And if you haven't picked up one of those, please do that. And then I had asked Valerie here a few months back if she would put together a prayer card for our entire mission, our entire office team, and she did that. She does that well. These things are all examples of her handiwork. They're also back on the table. There are some decal stickers back there that you can put on a water bottle or on a laptop cover or wherever you want to put them. Valerie is the one who designed those as well. She not only does that kind of work for the office, but she does that for our missionaries in the field as well. Is regularly designing prayer cards for our missionaries and then sometimes literature items that they use in their ministries. They're having a special event that they are promoting or whatever. Valerie is the one often who designs those literature items for the missionaries. I was talking with one of our church planters a couple of years ago, and they had a special day, a special event coming up, and he was telling me about the brochure that was being done for them for that event. And he said, yeah, this is kind of my idea. I gave Valerie a general idea of what it was that I wanted. And he said, and I just let her take it from there. He said, Valerie makes me look good. And I said to this church planter, Valerie makes all of us look good. And that's kind of her ministry, the ministry of making us look good and designing not only the print media but digital media that we use as well. On my display table, there's a rack that has several different issues of the CBM Contact newsletter. That's a newsletter that goes out once or twice a year. We have an upcoming issue. The articles have all been written and submitted, and Valerie has done the layout work for that now. There are several people that are doing proofreading for that, and this coming week, Valerie will take it to the company that does the printing for us, and then in a couple of weeks we should have that back, and then those things will be they'll be folded and stuffed in envelopes and sent out, probably around 3,000 pieces that will be going out. And so that's some of what happens in the office as well. Providing field coordination and counsel, that would include the kind of thing that I've mentioned several times, this church that contacted us looking for revitalization help. Sometimes our church planters will call with a particular ministry-related question as they're working through organizational steps and that kind of thing. And that's counsel that we give to them. Along with that, then, would be providing building consultation and design. While I am here with you today, reporting to you as one of my supporting churches, Dallas, the director of building ministries, is reporting to one of his supporting churches in Columbus, Ohio. And then this coming week, starting on Tuesday and on through next Sunday, he is meeting with a church that is considering some building needs that they have. He will be meeting with them over the course of those days with their building committee, with the church family as a whole, and just talking with them about their needs, giving some counsel to them about that. And then quite often, by the end of that week of planning, he has working together with the church come up with a floor plan that will fit their ministry needs and hopefully be affordable for them as well. So those are some of the things that our office team does to serve our missionaries. Now, to do that, for our office team to be able to do what they do, it requires the help of others. And there's a group of people that we refer to as planting partners. These are individuals and churches who who financially support the CBM home office on a regular basis. In that picture that I showed you of the ladies that work in our office who receive a salary from CBM, the money that's needed to pay their salaries comes in part from our planting partners. To process the volume of financial support that comes in for our missionaries, that requires some software that is not cheap as well. And so there are computer programs that are needed for us to do the work that we do. There are programs and pieces of equipment that are needed for Valerie to do the work that she does in graphic design and so on. And so we need our planting partners who support the CBM office on a regular basis. This year, we are asking God to raise up 125 new planting partners. That's kind of an appeal that we are making to people and to churches, and it's a request that we're asking of God that He would raise up these individuals. I've had the privilege of sending some thank yous to the churches and individuals who are already our planting partners. And for some of the individuals, as I am writing a letter to them, I look up the history of their giving. And I'm humbled and I'm grateful as I look at the faithfulness of some of our planting partners over many years, some that have been committed to doing that for several decades. And sometimes when I see the names of the individual and I don't know them personally, and I just wonder what was that initial connection with CBM? How did they first hear about us, and how did they make that decision to become a planting partner? And so we're very, very thankful for those who are already planting partners and for their faithfulness over the years. To date, we have five new planting partners this year, and they are all individual planting partners. One church that was already a planting partner but has increased their monthly giving to the CBM home office, and the amount that they've increased it by, we can consider that a new planting partner as well. So we're thankful for the response and continuing to ask God to raise up those individuals. If you're interested in becoming a planting partner, the easiest way to do that is to go to our website, and that's www.gocbm.org. And on that landing page, or that first page up in the upper left-hand corner, there is that little button that says Give Online. And if you click on that, then it takes you to a giving page. On that page, under the drop-down menu for fund, if you would select planting partners, and then in the memo can put general fund, and that would be the easiest way to do that. Also want to draw to your attention on that landing page or the main page of our website, if you scroll down the page a ways, you'll find this box that says the broadcaster. The broadcaster is a digital newsletter that is sent out via email. Our goal is to send it out every month. We don't always make that goal, but it's just a short article that comes out that just gives a little bit of news about CBM. We're nearing the end of a series of articles that we've called Across the Continent with Continental Baptist Missions, where we've just been introducing each of those mission churches, one each month, and we've just about made it through. And then we'll be shifting to some different content, but it's a way of kind of keeping up with what God is doing through the ministry of CBM. And so be aware of that as well. Over the last 2 years, or within the last two and a half years, we have started a YouTube channel called Destination Missions with Continental Baptist Missions. And on this screen and also on my table in the back, you'll see a placard that has this QR code. If you're interested in our YouTube channel, you can just shoot that QR code, and it will take you to our YouTube channel. And there, if you would subscribe. That's something that helps us with the more subscribers that we have. There are several videos that are there already telling about some of the work of CBM. I mentioned this morning the CBM sampler. There is a video there that was made of the CBM sampler in 2021, and that gives you a good introduction to that as well. So those are some ways of learning a little bit more about what is going on currently in the ministry of Continental Baptist Missions. I want to go with you next to, not to Titus, believe it or not, but to Matthew chapter 9, and this is a very common text in a mission context. Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38 are very familiar verses to us within the context of missions. This is the text where we read, Then Jesus said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." As a mission agency, we, of course, are confronted frequently by the truth of this text. The laborers are few. The harvest is plentiful. The needs and opportunities exceed the available personnel. I mentioned that my conversations with churches that contact us looking for revitalization help usually begin with that statement, "We have no one available at this time." And I wish I had a different answer to give them, but that's one of the ways in which we are frequently confronted by the needs and opportunities. We are not able, obviously, to help in every one of those cases. Most of the time, we're not able to help. Sometimes the Lord will raise up help for that church from another avenue. And sometimes the churches that are in that position are not going to survive. That's just a reality. There are some that will be closing their doors. We don't like to see that happen. In some cases, even if we did have a missionary available, we still perhaps would choose not to step into that particular circumstance and to have a CBM missionary serving there. But those kinds of things are frequently come to our attention. Just off the top of my head, I can tell you we've been contacted several times by a church in California, several times by a church in Virginia, a handful of churches in Pennsylvania, a church in the state of Washington, a church in Rhode Island. The requests come in from across the country, and they come in fairly frequently. And so we're very much aware of the need that exceeds the available workers. 5 years ago, maybe it's been about 6 years ago now, we were contacted by a pastor in a Midwestern state. He was contacting us because he had been contacted by a family living in a small Midwestern city in a neighboring state to where this pastor lives. And that family had been looking, they had moved to that small city, and they had been looking for a church and having a hard time finding one that was a Bible-based church. Several Baptist churches in town, but several that were more issue-oriented and not really Bible-based in their ministry of the Word. And so they were kind of frustrated in their search for a church. So they had contacted this pastor saying, "Are you aware of any churches, maybe across the river in your state, but that would be within driving distance?" And so this pastor had had some conversation with this family and then contacted us and reached out to CBM and said, "Hey, this family is living in this small city. They've not been able to find a church. But in talking with them, they have indicated that if they knew that a missionary, that a church planter would be coming to their city to plant a church, they would be willing to stick it out for another 2 years if they knew a church planter was coming within 2 years. And then once he arrived, they would be all in a church plant. They would be willing to serve, and they'd mention different ways in which they have some abilities, etc. And so they were very willing to be a part of a church plant if a church planter would come. There was a pastor of an established church who we know, and we were aware that he had an interest in church planting in that particular state where these people were living. And so we'd approached that pastor and said, hey, here's this appeal that has come to us. Is it possible that you would be able to go in the next 2 years to initiate a church plant there? And he had answered us and said that while he's very much interested, just his understanding of the needs of the church that he was pastoring at that time, he would not be able to leave that work in the next 2 years. And so we were not able to go any farther with that request. 2 years later, the phone rang at our office. It was a man from New York State calling because his son and daughter-in-law and their baby had just moved from Chicago to this same small city in a Midwestern state. And he was wondering if we could give a recommendation of a church in that city. His son and daughter-in-law had been looking for a church for a short time and were not excited about what they were finding there, were concerned about several of the churches they had visited. And so could we give a recommendation of a church? And I said, I can't give a recommendation of a church, but let me tell you this story. And so I told him about the family who had moved to that same city 2 years earlier. So I went back to the pastor who had contacted us 2 years earlier and said, do you know if that family is still living in that same city? And he responded and said they have moved and told me where they had moved. Now, I don't know in that decision to move what place the fact that they had been unable to find a church might have had in that decision. But it's something that underscores in our minds that, you know, there might be a need for a church plant in that particular city. And again, we were unable to find someone who could go. And so we're aware through those kinds of things of the needs that exist. We're aware of these opportunities. We're aware of the reality that the harvest is plentiful. The opportunities are there, and they outpace the laborers. We know that that's true not only in North America, the area where we serve, but around the world as well. And so we're very much aware of that. And we have in this text that command to pray. Because of that, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. And so that's what we are instructed to do in this verse. We're to pray. And it's something that we do regularly as a mission agency, and it's something that we encourage regularly for those who get our prayer bulletin that will show up in the course of 3 months. That particular request will come up several times to pray for more laborers. And so we have that command, that instruction from the Lord that we're to pray. As we think about praying for laborers, I wonder how we typically pray. You know, when we pray for this, we pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest. Perhaps we're in the habit of praying in a rather ambiguous way and saying, Lord, send someone into the harvest. Send someone into the harvest. We may have no idea or no really any thought about where someone might come from. But they're out there, and we're praying that the Lord will send them. Well, I want to encourage you and want to challenge you and other churches as well, that instead of just praying, Lord, send someone into the harvest, that we would pray, Lord, send someone from our church into the harvest. Send someone from our church. Realizing that the someone may not come from somewhere out there unknown to us, but maybe it'll be someone much closer to us. Lord, send someone from our church. And then I want to take that just one step farther and not just pray, Lord, send someone, or Lord, send someone from our church, but might you pray, Lord, send so-and-so from our church. In our case, we might say, Lord, send Micah and Megan into the harvest. Is there someone within your church family that you would look at and say, you know, this is someone or this is a couple that we could send out as a church? And would you begin praying that the Lord would send them out? And so I want to challenge us to be even more specific as we carry out this command given to us here, praying that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into his harvest. As we think about this text, often this is as far as we go in the text. We say, well, that's all he said to do. That's all that the Lord Jesus said to do. He said, pray. Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest. And so we're going to do that. And that's what he's told us to do. But is that all that the Lord has told us to do in this regard? It's the command that's given in this text, but there are several other things that we see in this text that would be some things we see modeled or examples of in this text that I think we find taught by principle in other texts. And this is what I mean. Let's back up to verse 35. Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, healing every disease and every affliction. The area, if we looked at the broader context here, the area where Jesus is carrying on his ministry at this time was Galilee. And I had read somewhere or heard somewhere that at this time, in Jesus' day, there were approximately 175 cities and villages in the region of Galilee at that time. So that gives us a size of an idea of the size of the project, of what Jesus was engaged in doing, going throughout all the cities and villages of Galilee and carrying on this ministry. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to whom? To whom was he speaking? His disciples. Then he said to his disciples. And with, oh yes, Jesus had disciples. They were people who had committed themselves to follow Jesus. He knew they were his disciples. They knew they were his disciples. And so there was this intentional relationship that Jesus had with them. He was at this time, we could again go back and see that Jesus was intentionally working in the lives of these individuals. And then as we go on in the text, chapter 10, verse 1, he called to him his 12 disciples. And so it focuses on 12 of these men. And again, Jesus is deliberately working in their lives. And so he is discipling these men. He's training them. He's teaching them. And it isn't just knowledge. It isn't just things they learn, but shaping their entire lives as he disciples them. And so he is engaged in that work. He is modeling that. And that's the work that at the end of Matthew, you know, that he gave us to do, to make disciples, going into all the world, make disciples of all the nations. And so in that text, in Matthew 28, we're given the command. We have it being modeled here, what's commanded to us. We see it also in Paul's admonition to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, where Timothy was told, the things that you have heard from me and you've learned from me, you've seen in my life, those things commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. And think about that. Commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What we see in that verse is the multiplying of laborers, don't we? We see a multiplying of laborers. So in addition to praying, I believe we have the responsibility then to be discipling, to be making disciples. As we look at the needs, as we look at the opportunities, as we see that the laborers do not, that the needs exceed the available personnel, the available help, we're reminded of our responsibility to be doing what Jesus was doing in this text, in Matthew's gospel, in discipling people. And so he called these men to him. He's going to give them some specific instructions, some training for them. And so he is discipling them. One of the churches that had contacted us within the last year and a half, 2 years, they've contacted us before when they've been without a pastor. And it's a church that has kind of struggled. And they contacted us again looking for a pastor, perhaps a missionary pastor. I looked at the map. I know where this small town is, where this church is. When I looked at a map, and I just looked at the communities within 50 miles of that church, and thought, is there a church within 50 miles of this church that's in need? A church that is intentionally preparing men for ministry, that is, it's deliberately discipling, deliberately training, that has a vision for sending out men from their church to go and help another church. There was one of the communities where I know there's a church there. I wonder what's going on in that church, and so I looked them up online. And found out that church at that time was also without a pastor. And a month or two later, I got a call from a guy who was serving as interim pastor at that church and said, hey, do you have somebody who could come here and help this church? I said, well, actually, I was thinking about I would have contacted that church about if they had someone that could go over to this other community to help. But we need churches that have a disciple-making vision that recognize the need and the responsibility to be discipling the workers who are needed in the harvest. I believe that's a responsibility that we have to pray and to disciple. And then as we look in verse 5 of chapter 10 of Matthew, these 12 Jesus sent out. He sent them out. I had the privilege last fall of being with Nathan and Christy Robbins' sending church for their Sending Sunday. The Robins had raised their support, and now they were ready to move out to Buffalo, New York, to engage in a church planting ministry. And it was a wonderful day to be with that church family. Their excitement at their opportunity to send out this family was just really noticeable. It was a happy day. It was an exciting day as they were sending out this young couple and their children to engage in that ministry. And as I was with them that day and enjoying what I saw taking place and having a part in that, it occurred to me that what I was seeing there, that's a natural thing. I think we see that happening in churches in the New Testament as they sent out people. That's a natural thing for a local church to send out people. Now, it's natural. It's maybe not normal. It's not something that happens frequently, perhaps, but as I was there that day, the prayer request that I offered up to the Lord was that God would raise up more churches like this that are hungry to send people out into the harvest. Do we have that kind of a hunger? Say, Lord, we want to send someone. The history of the planting of the church in Antioch is found in Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. And in that account, we hear about God doing some things in Antioch, and then we're told that news of these things reached the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent out Barnabas. When the church in Jerusalem sent out Barnabas to go to Antioch, that's 300 miles away, they were sending out one of their best. We could look at Barnabas's involvement in his church in Jerusalem and see that he was a key individual in that church. And yet they gave him up. They sent him out. Couldn't have been an easy thing, and it's not necessarily an easy thing for a church to send their best. But may God give us a hunger to do that. So as you pray for Continental Baptist Missions and for the needs that we have, yes, we need to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send out laborers into the harvest, not just that he'd send someone, but that he would send someone from our church, and maybe we can even be more specific and say, Lord, send this Barnabas from our church. Along with that, we need to be discipling people. The person that you disciple, maybe the Lord will never lead you beyond this community. Maybe his plan for you is to continue here as a faithful part of this church, but he may give you the opportunity to disciple someone who will go out and be one of those laborers in the harvest beyond your community. And then I pray that God will give you as a church a hunger to send someone out. We're very thankful for you and other churches that support us and support other CBM missionaries. And we and the missionaries that we serve couldn't do what we do without supporting churches. But we're praying that the Lord will raise up additional sending churches as well. Father, thank you for the time we've had in your word. And again, thank you for these folks, for this local church family. I thank you for their faithful ministry here. Thank you for the investment that they are making in lives. The investment that they make in the lives of students at Faith, and the investment they make in the lives of young people here in this community. And Lord, as we pray that you would send out laborers, I pray that you would send out laborers from Norwoodville Baptist Church into the harvest. And so we commit these requests to you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.